Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, the 10th Perek, Arvei Pesachim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Braisa, Halal Zeh Mi'amara, the Halal which we recite in Yom Tovim. Who had originally said it? Rabbi Yossi says, My son Elazar says, Moshe Yisrael Amaru B'Shan Sha'olu Min HaYam. Moshe and Yisrael recited it when they ascended from the Yam Suf, but his colleagues disagree with him, saying that David HaMelech recited Hallel in response to personal experiences. And Elazar's words are more logical than theirs. Efshi Yisrael Shekhatu Es Pischehen, but not to Luven V'Lamru Shira. Is it possible that during all the years from Yetzias Yisrael until David HaMelech's time, the Jewish people shechted their Pesachs and took their Lulavim and didn't recite Hallel? And another point that supports this position is, Pislu shel Micha omed bevechi b'Yisrael omrim es ha-Hallel? Is it logical that Micha's idol is standing in Bechi and the Jewish people instituted reciting the Hallel? Rashi explains that Bechi is the place where the idol stood during David HaMelech's reign. Later on the Amud, the Gemara brings a number of additional opinions about this subject. Point number two, a Bryce explains the distinction between two slightly different phrases that commonly introduce chapters of Tehillim. L'David Mizmor melamed sheshar selav shechina v'archirach amr shira. But David Mizmor, meaning for David, a song, teaches that the Shechina rested on David HaMelech and then he sang the song. Mizmor LeDavid Melamed Sha'amr Shira V'Archachach Shar Selav Shechina. Mizmor LeDavid, meaning a song for David, teaches that David HaMelech sang the song and then the Shechina rested on him. From here and from another pasuk, the Mor brings, we learn the Shechina only rests on a person, mitok devar simcha shal mitzvah, amidst the joy associated with a mitzvah. Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, V'chen LeDvar Halacha, and so it is for words of halacha, that is, in the teaching of Torah, joy is an important tool. The Gemara later illustrates this with Rabbah, who used to open his shiurim with milsa de bidichusa, a humorous thing, and the Talmidim would laugh. But afterwards, he would sit in an atmosphere of trepidation, upasach mishmaisa, and begin his teachings. Rav Nachman said, V'chen ochom tov, and so it is for a good dream, meaning if one wishes to have pleasant dreams, he should go to sleep in a happy state of mind. And point number three, after teaching that we make a bracha with David HaMelech's name and the brachas of the Haftorah by saying Magen David, the Gemara cites the source of the bracha of the Avos. Rabbi Shimon Lakish said the Torah states Hashem said to Avram, V'aschal goy gadol, I will make you a great nation, Zehu she'omrim elkei Avraham. This is the pasuk that teaches we say the God of Avraham in the first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. V'rechecha, and I will bless you, is the source for saying elkei Yitzchak, the God of Yitzchak. V'agad v'shamecho, and I will make your name great. This is the source for saying elkei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov. Yachu Yuchos Mimachulan, it could be thought that we conclude the bracha with a mention of all of them, Talmud Lomar, V'yeh bracha. The Torah therefore teaches, and you, referring to Avram, shall be a bracha, which implies, B'chachos min ve'en chos mimachulan. We conclude the bracha with you, and we do not conclude it with all three of them. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in a braisa, Halal Zeh Mi'amara, the halal which we were studying Yom Tovim, who had originally said it. Rav Yossi says, my son Elazar says, Moshe Yisrael Amaru B'shan Sha'olu Min HaYam. Moshe and Yisrael recited when they ascended from Yam Suf, but his colleagues disagree with him, saying that David HaMelech recited Hallel in response to personal experiences, and Elazar's words are more logical than theirs. Efshi Yisrael shechatu es pischehen menatu luven v'lamru shira. Is it possible that during all the years from Yetzias Yisrael until David HaMelech's time, the Jewish people shechted their Pesachs and took their lulavim and didn't recite Hallel? And another point that supports his position is, Pislo shel Micha omed bevechi Yisrael omrim es ha-Hallel. Is it logical that Micha's idol is standing in Bechi and the Jewish people institute reciting the Hallel? Rashi explains that Bechi is the place where the idol stood during David HaMelech's reign. Later on in the Amud, the Gemara brings a number of additional opinions about the subject. Point number two, a Bryce explains the distinction between two slightly different phrases that commonly introduce chapters of Tehillim. L'David Mizmor melamed sheshar selav shechina v'achakach amr shira. L'David Mizmor, meaning for David, a song, teaches that the shechina rested on David HaMelech and then he sang the song. Mizmor David melamed shamer shira v'achakach shar selav shechina. Mizmor David, meaning a song for David, teaches that David HaMelech sang the song and then the Shechina rested on him. From here and from another pasuk, the Mor brings, we learn that the Shechina only rests on a person mitok devar simcha shel mitzvah, amidst the joy associated with the mitzvah. Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, v'chen l'dvar halacha, and so it is for words of halacha, that is, in the teaching of Torah, joy is an important tool. The Gemara later illustrates this with Rabbah, who used to open his shiurim with milsa di bitachusa, a humorous thing, and the Talmidim would laugh. But afterwards, he would sit in an atmosphere of trepidation, upasach b'shmaisa, and begin his teachings. Rav Nachman said, v'chen l'chalom tov, and so it is for a good dream, meaning if one wishes to have pleasant dreams, he should go to sleep in a happy state of mind. And point number three, after teaching them to make a bracha with David HaMelech's name in the brachas of the Haftorah, by saying Magen David, the Gemara cites the source for the bracha of the Avos. Rabbi Shimon Lakish said, the Torah states, Hashem said to Avram, v'eschal goy gadol, I will make you a great nation. Zeu she'omrim elkei Avraham. This is the pasuk that teaches that we see the God of Avraham in the first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. V'varechecha, and I will bless you, is the source that we say elkei Yitzchak, the God of Yitzchak. V'gadol shemecha, and I will make your name great. This is the source for saying elkei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov. Yachu yuchos m'mechuhan. It could be thought that we conclude the bracha with a mention of all of them. Talmud Lomar v'yebracha. The Torah therefore teaches, and you, referring to Avram, shall be a bracha, which implies b'chachos m've'en chos m'chuan. We conclude the bracha with you, and we do not conclude it with all three of them. All right, so now we go to a simur daf Kuf Yud Zayin, and this simur was suggested to us by Moshe Raps from Yerushalayim, who suggested that Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabai with a lot of keys. A gabai with a lot of keys. So here goes. The gabai, who uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel as they reenacted the crossing of the Yamsuf, was distracted because he was rehearsing in his mind his why did the chicken cross the street joke that he was going to give to begin his shir on the bracha of Avos. Once again, it's a motion. The gabai who uses many keys, gabai using keys, that must be run daf Kuf Yud Zayin. The gabai who uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, which reminds us, is Malchokos regarding the origins of Hallel that we see on the Yom Tovim. Rabbi Yossi said his son Elazar says that Moshe Ben Yisrael recited it when they ascended from the Yam Suf, but his colleagues disagree and say that David and Melch recited Hallel in response to his personal experiences. He said Elazar's words more logical than theirs, because is it possible that during all the years from Yetzias Yisrael until David Melch's time, the Jewish people shechted their Pesachs and took their Lulavim and didn't recite Hallel? And also, is it logical that Micha's idol is standing in Bechi and the Jewish people instituted reciting the Hallel? Rashi explains that Bechi is the place where the idol stood during David Melch's reign. So the gabai, he uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, was distracted because he was rehearsing in his mind his why did the chicken cross the street joke? Which reminds us, Abraisa explains the distinction between two slightly different phrases that commonly introduce chapters of Tehillim. The David Mizmor, meaning for David, a song teaches that the Shekhinah rested on David HaMelech and then he sang the song. Whereas Mizmor LaDavid, meaning a song for David, teaches that David HaMelech said the song and then the Shekhinah rested on him. From here and another pasuk that Gemara brings, we learn that the Shekhinah only rests on a person mitoch devar simcha shel mitzvah, amidst the joy associated with the mitzvah. Rav Yudah said in the Merav Kenel Devar Halacha, so it is for words of Halacha, that is, in the teaching of Torah, joy is an important tool. And the Gemara illustrates this with Rabbah, who used to open up his shiurim with a milsa di beduchusa, a humorous thing, and the Talmidim would laugh. But afterwards he would sit in trepidation, upasuk shmaisa, and then begin his teachings. Rav Nachman said, and so it is for a good dream, meaning if one wishes to have pleasant dreams, you should go to sleep in a happy state of mind. So the gabai, who uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel, as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, was distracted because he was rehearsing in his mind his why did the chicken cross the street joke that he was going to give to begin his shir on the bracha of Avos. Which reminds us, the Gemara cites the source of the bracha of Avos. Rabbi Shimon Lakish said, the Torah states, Hashem said to Avram, Ve'eschel goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation. Zehu she'omrim elkei Avram. This is the pasuk that teaches that we say the God of Avram in the first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. V'varechecha, and I'll bless you, is the source for saying elkei Yitzchak, the God of Yitzchak. And I'll make your name great. This is the source for saying Elkei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov. Yachol Yehu Chos Min Mechuan. It could be thought that we conclude the bracha with the mention of all of them, Talmud Lomar V'yeh Bracha. The Torah therefore teaches, and you, referring to Avram, shall be a bracha, which implies B'chachos Min Vein Chos Min Mechuan. We conclude the bracha with you, and we do not conclude it with all three of them. So once again, the gabai, who uses many keys to guide the kehillah in the reciting of Hallel as they reenacted the crossing of the Yam Suf, was distracted because he was rehearsing in his mind his why did the chicken cross the street joke that he was going to give to begin his shir on the bracha of Avos. All right, now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. So the Simra Kuf Yud Gimel is a geek. So here goes. The geeky bachelor, geeky, that must be run Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The geeky bachelor who lived in the big city for years, which reminds us, there are three people about whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces their virtue every day. About a bachelor who lives in a large city where temptations are common and he doesn't sin. About a poor man who returns a lost object that he finds to his owner. And about a rich man who takes miser from his produce in private and thus avoids flaunting his wealth. So the geeky bachelor who lived in the big city for years was in shock. He got lashed for testifying alone about his neighbor. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a list of three people Kadosh Baruch Hu hates. Hamadabra echod bepeh ve'echod bolev. One who says one thing with his mouth while meaning another in his heart. One who knows testimony about his friend but doesn't testify on his behalf. and one who sees that his friend committed an aver involving a rias and testifies about him alone without a second witness. And the Gemara illustrates the last case with the story of Zigud, who testified alone about Tuvia before her papa. When her papa had Zigud lashed, Zigud asked, Tuvia chata v'zigud mingad? Tuvia sinned and Zigud is lashed? Her papa told him that two witnesses were required for Beis Din to act, and he testified alone, and therefore he's just merely defaming him, meaning that he's being mosti shemra about him. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak says in the name of Rav, mutla sanoso, the lone witness is allowed to hate the person who did the aver, and he bruises from the pasuk. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, mitzvah lasanoso. It's a mitzvah to hate him in such a case, as it says in the pasuk, yiras Hashem, snos ra, fear of Hashem is hatred of evil. So the geeky bachelor who lived in the big city for years was in shock. He got lashed for testifying alone about his neighbor, who was an arrogant pauper that no one could understand. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a list of four people who behave in a way the mind cannot tolerate. Rashbam explains that people cannot understand their behavior, and Rashi explains that even the perpetrators regret their own actions eventually and are ashamed of themselves. A pauper who is haughty, a rich man who denies a valid financial claim against them, an old man who commits adultery, and a communal leader who imposes himself upon the community for no reason. The Rashbam explains that he enjoys the honor his position brings him, but he doesn't help his community in their hour of need. Daf Kuf Yudalad. So the symbol of Kuf Yudalad is a kiddie amusement park. So here goes. The mock seder at the kiddie amusement park. Kiddie amusement park? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yudalad. The mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at Kiddush. Which reminds, Beis Shammai says that one says the bracha on the day Kiddush first, and then he says the bracha on the wine. Whereas Beis Hillel says he says the bracha on the wine first at Kiddush, and then he says the bracha on the day. Abraham explains that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel each have two reasons for the position. Beis Shammai say Kiddush comes first because the day causes the wine to come. Rashbam explains that it's only because it's Yantav that wine is being drunk before the meal, and the day was already sanctified before the wine came to the table. Beis Hillel say the Borei Priya Gavon comes first because the wine causes Kiddush to be said. Rashbam explains that one cannot say Kiddush without either wine or bread. And also, Birchas Yain Tadir, Birchas Yom Eina Tadir, Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Alternatively, the bracha over wine is frequent and the bracha over the day is not frequent. And the rule is, in a case of a frequent thing and an infrequent thing, the frequent thing comes first. So the mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at Kiddush, while others wouldn't stop dipping. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses why the Mishnah requires lettuce to be brought from Maror if lettuce was already eaten for karpas, and why we do not say that the mitzvah of Maror was already fulfilled then. Reish Lakish says, Zos omeris mitzvos srichas kavana. This teaches that mitzvahs need kavana, meaning it's because the lettuce eaten as karpas was not eaten with intent to fulfill the mitzvah of Maror that the mitzvah was not fulfilled, and lettuce must be eaten again specifically as Maror. The Gemara dismisses this proof by suggesting a different explanation for lettuce being eaten a second time after the mitzvah of Maror was fulfilled during karpas. So that there will be a distinguishing factor for the children. Rashbam explains that eating lettuce a second time will provoke children to ask questions, as it's unusual to eat vegetables twice during a meal. So the mock seder at the kiddie amusement park got out of hand when some children started fighting over which bracha to say first at Kiddush, while others wouldn't stop dipping, splashing water all over too. Cook foods. Which reminds us, the Gemara elaborates on the Mishnah statement that shnei tafshilin are brought. My shnei tafshilin, what constitutes two cooked items? Among the opinions the Gemara cites is that of Rav Yosef, who says, sarich shnei minei baser, echad zechel pesach, ve'echad zechel chagiga. One must have two types of meat. One is a commemoration of the Karban Pesach, and another as a commemoration of the Karban Chagiga. And the Rashbam explains that this is the Chagiga that was brought together with the Karban Pesach. The other views accept that Shnei Tavshilin commemorate these two Karbanas, but argue that foods other than meat also achieve this. Daf Kuf Tezvav. So the Simur Kuf Tezvav is a Ketoris maker. So here goes. The Ketoris maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole after the table had been removed from in front of him. Once again, in slow motion. The Ketoris maker, that must mean one Daf Kuf Tezvav. The Ketoris maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste and made sure to savor his matzah and maror separately, which reminds us, the Gemara says a man should not wrap matzah and maror together and eat them, because we hold the matzah is a mitzvah deraisa, even nowadays, and maror is a mitzvah derabbanan nowadays, in the absence of the Karban Pesach. Vasi maror derabbanan mevatlein l'matzah deraisa. So if they're eaten together, the maror derabbanan will come and nullify the matzah deraisa. And the Rashbam explains that the taste of the matzah will be nullified. And the Gemara explains that even the Manda Amar, who generally holds that mitzvos ein mevatel zo azo, mitzvos do not nullify each other, agrees that a mitzvah derabanan does nullify a mitzvah deraisa. The Rashbam explains that the argument to say that the two mitzvah foods generally do not nullify each other is that they are similar to each other in that they are both eaten in fulfillment of similar mitzvos. This isn't the case where one food is eaten for a mitzvah deraisa and the other for a mitzvah derabanan. And the Gemara identifies the man d'amar who holds mitzvos ein mevatel zo azo as Hillel, who would eat the Karban Pesach, Matzah, and Maror together. The Gemara concludes that because the Rabbanan argued with Hillel, and it was not stated whom the halakha follows, Matzah and Maror should be eaten separately with brachos, and then together without brachos, Zechu Mikdash Kehillel, as a commemoration on the base of Mikdash, according to Hillel. So the Ketores maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste, and made sure to savor his Matzah and Maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole, which reminds us the Rav says, Balam Matzah Yatzah, Balam Maror Yatzah. If one swallowed Matzah, he fulfilled the mitzvah, but if one swallowed Maror, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. And the Shmam explains that the Gemara refers to swallowing Matzah and Maror whole without chewing them. Eating this way is acceptable for the mitzvah matzah, which must be simply be eaten, but not the mitzvah maror, whose bitter taste must be sensed to commemorate Bimaru as chayem, and they embitter their lives. If he wrapped them in baths, material that grows around a palm tree, and swallowed them whole, he didn't even fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. And the Rashbam explains that neither the matzah nor the maror are considered to have been in the person's mouth, and his swallowing them is no more than an act of eating than throwing a stone into a bag is. So the Ketores maker, who had an exceptional sense of smell and taste, and made sure to savor his matzah maror separately, was aghast when he saw the one leading the Seder swallow them whole, after the table had been removed in front of him. Which reminds, the reason to remove the table that was in front of the person who would lead the Seder and say the Haggadah is Kadesh Yakiru Tinokas Yishawu, so the children will notice and ask about the unusual behavior. The Rashbam notes that nowadays when everyone sits together at one large table and it would be impractical to remove it, we simply move away the Seder plate containing the matzah maror and the two cooked items. And the Gemara tells the time Abai saw the table being removed from in front of Rabbah and said, we didn't eat yet and they're coming to remove the table from before us. And Rabbah told them, Patartim Melomer Manishtana, you exempted us from saying Manishtana. The Rashbam explains that the requirement that someone ask about the different things done in the Seder was fulfilled through Abai's question. Daf Kuf Tezayin, so the similar Kuf Tezayin is a barber giving haircuts. So here goes. The barber, that must be Ron Duff, Kuf Tezayin. The barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, which reminds the next mission states that they mix and poured for him a second cup of wine, Bechana ben Shol Aviv, and here the son asks his father. Rashbam explains that the son asks why the father is pouring a second cup of wine before eating, to which the father answers with Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves of Bar Mitzrayim. According to the Rashbam, there is no need to recite the Manishtana since the question was asked. The Mishnah continues, and if the son doesn't have sufficient understanding, the father teaches him to ask Manishtana. And then it was taught in Braisa, if the son's a Chacham, then he asks. If he's not, his wife asks. And if his wife doesn't ask, who shol la'atzmu? Then he asks them to himself, Ba'afil shnei talmi chachamim shiyodim hilchas ha-pesach, and even two talmi chachamim, or proficient hilchas ha-pesach, sholin zeh lezeh, must ask one another. So the barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, that originally the Jews had long, straggly hair in Mitzrayim, but left with their hair washed, styled, and cut. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Maschil b'gnus, Masayim b'sheva. The father begins Sipur Yetzim Mitzrayim with Bnei Yisrael's disgrace, and he concludes it with Bnei Yisrael's glory. And the Gemara asks, what is the gnus? So Rav said, Mitchila ovde avodus gilulim hayu avosenu. We recite originally our answers were idol worshippers, and Shmuel said, Avedim hayinu. We recite, we are slaves to Parah Mitzrayim. And the Shevach would be understood to be the reverse image of their interpretations of Gnus. According to Rav, the Shevach would refer to our coming close to Kosh Baruch Hu's service, whereas according to Shmuel, would refer to proclaiming all the miracles and wonders that brought about our deliverance. And the Haggadah contains both interpretations. So the barber told his wife, who asked the four questions, that originally the Jews had a long, straggly hair in Mitzrayim, but left with the hair washed, styled, and cut, while he lifted the matzahs high, up in the air. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rav Gamliel would say, whoever didn't say these three things on Pesach night has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rashbam says that this refers to explaining the reasons for these three mitzvahs, and the Rambam says that the chiyuv Rav Gamliel was referring to is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzim Tzitzrayim. Rav said one must lift up the matzah to show it to the others when reciting the mitzvah for eating matzah, and one must lift up the maror and do the same, but basar ain't sarach l'hagbiyo. However, one need not lift up the meat when explaining the mitzvah of Pesach, and not only is it not required to raise the meat, but if one would do so, it would give the appearance of eating kachim that was shechted outside the base of Migdash. All right, now it's time to conclude with the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which daf do we have the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding what is considered maschil b'gnus? That's on daf Kuf Tezayin. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we have that one may swallow matzah whole, but may not swallow maror whole because he needs to taste the bitterness? That's on daf Kuftes Vav. Good, number three. Which stuff do you learn the source for mentioning the Avos in the Shemoneh Esrei? That's on Daf. Kuf Yud Zayin. Good, number four. Which stuff do you learn that according to Rabbi Yosef, the Shnei Tavshilin are two types of meat, one representing the Pesach and one for its Chagiga? That's on Daf. Kuf Yud Dalet. Good, number five. Which stuff do you learn that the matzahs and maror are lifted at the Seder, but the meat is not? That's on Daf. Kuftes Zayin. Good, number six. Which stuff do you learn the Shechina is only sure when we talk about Simcha Shel Mitzvah, the joy associated to doing a mitzvah? That's on Daf. Kuftes Zayin. Good, number seven. Which stuff do you learn one should not walk alone on Tuesday and Friday nights? That's on Daf. Kuftes Beis. Good, number eight. Which stuff do you learn that one of the four people whose behavior is difficult to understand is a pauper who acts in a haughty manner? That's on Daf. Kuf Yud Gimel. Good, number nine. Which daf do we have Malchus regarding the origins of Halo, whether Moshe Bnei Yisrael recited it while ascending from the Yamsuf, or it comes from Daven HaMelech? That's on Daf. Kuf Yud Zayin. Good, and number ten. Which daf do we learn the reason being Tovol twice is to get the children to ask questions? That's on Daf. Kuf Yud Dal. Good, now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which daf do we discuss whether by menorah Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah or Hanacha Osa Mitzvah? That's on Daf. Chaf Gimel and Shabbos. Good, number two. Which daf do we discuss seawater entering a breach in the Chatzar? That's on Daf. Yud Beis and Erevin. Good, and number three. Which daf do we discuss things which are 60th of something else? That's on Daf. Nun Zayin and Brachas. Excellent, right? That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichur wishing a great day and great learning.